You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Jeez. Wonderful. Caitlin gets a clap. How good is that? I never get claps here, Caitlin. How good is the weather in Perth of late? You know, like we're 3 weeks away from winter, and last week we get what, high 20s, low 30s, and it's sunny. Like, how good is living in Perth? Amen? This is definitely perfect Perth, right? Anyone from Melbourne here? Anyone from Melbourne? Yeah, yeah. Anyone lived in Melbourne? Like, you know what I mean, right? God bless you, four seasons in one day. Yeah, that's right, you know, it's sunny in the morning. By midday, you've got a helmet on because it's hailing the size of golf balls. And by midday, maybe it's going to be cold and wet and windy. And then by the afternoon, it's beautiful again. Melbourne, that's so Melbourne. But Perth, it's so beautiful. We've got four beautiful seasons, is that right? We're right now in autumn, and then it's going to be winter. Not long after winter, by October, it's going to be spring. And then we get to December, it's sunny, it's hot, beach weather. It's what a life in Perth. You know, life is a bit like that. The life that you and I live is a bit like that. There'll be different seasons in life. Like today, we have parents dedicating their child to the Lord. And for some of these parents, it's their first time being parents. It's a beautiful season, all right? You know what, give it another 4 years and these parents here will probably walk their child into kindy for the first time. Hopefully there's no tears, no trembling of the lips, you know, on that first day. And I speak boldness and courage on that day to the parents, right? And then before you know it's the last day of primary school and they're going to head to big school. They're going to high school. In a blink of an eye, it's their high school valedictory and graduation. And then they fall in love. That's the order there, all right? Graduate, then fall in love. And then it's wedding season, right? And parents, before you know it, their bedroom is now empty. You're now grandparents. And I can go on and on and on. Don't you agree that we live in seasons? And that's exactly what we see in chapter 3 from the book of Ecclesiastes. And so with the short time I have, I want to break up my talk into three parts, and I'll tell you what they are. Firstly, the seasons of life, the sovereignty of God, and the surrender of the believer. And so that's what I want to look with you. So if you have your Bible, here's a good time to open up Ecclesiastes chapter 3 or open up the church app. So let me read you the word of God and look at the seasons of life. Look at this, verses 1 to 8. There is a time for everything and a season for everything under the heavens. A time to born, a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. I kind of thought that one was pretty funny because that's for all those hoarders out here. There's a time to just throw away, let it go. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Do you notice the pairing? There are positive seasons and negative seasons. There are good times and there are ugly times. There are beautiful seasons and there are broken seasons. There are the ups and downs of life. And what the preacher is really saying is this, is that we will live through different seasons of life and we cannot choose them. Every one of us will live through different seasons and we have no say in what seasons come our way. I mean, it would be great if we could choose all the good seasons, right? It would be great if we could choose the seasons of laughter and the seasons of birth, seasons of dancing and love. And for me personally, I would go back to 2013 when the Dockers got to the grand final. It's a long time, long time. Lord Jesus, would you help us this season? We cannot choose seasons of life. There's a season and there's a time for everything under the sun. And that's what the preacher is saying in chapter 3. There will be a season of weeping, mourning, war, hate, death. There will be bitter and broken season. You see, some of us today, right now as I preach this, you're in a great season. Today you celebrate your mothers and you have the best mum in the world. Some of you, you are grateful that you have the gift of being parents. The beautiful children here dedicated to the Lord. It's a sweet season. And life is great when you're in that sweet season and you never want that season to end. Amen? But for others, this season is very hard. This day is very hard because maybe your mother is no longer with you and you miss her. Seasons like this. Or you've been trying for many years to start a family and you're waiting and waiting. And this is a tough season. And it's unfair and it's dark and it's brutal and it's broken and you just cannot wait for this season to end. So I don't know where you are today, my friends. I don't know if this is a beautiful season for you or a broken season for you. I don't know if you're in a season of dancing or in a season of mourning, but I do know one thing. Based on this chapter and the Word of God and what the preacher is telling us, that seasons do not last forever. They're always changing. Whatever season you may find yourself in today, please know that this season you're in will come to pass. If it's a difficult season, if it's dark, there will be a brighter and better season around the corner. I really believe that. And if you're in a season that's great and everything's blessed and beautiful, well, this season will pass and there's another season to come around. That's life. I will never teach you a theology that every season will be great if you follow Jesus. That's wrong theology. As Christians, we are not immune to the changing seasons of life. Being Christian does not guarantee that life is easy. Every one of us, whilst living under the sun in this broken world here, there will be good season and there will be not so good season. And if you are in a beautiful season right now, praise God. Learn to appreciate what you have and thank God He is good. And if you're in a broken season right now, hold on to God and trust that He'll get you through to the next season. Because we live in seasons. There will be good season, not so good season. Blessed season, broken season. And that's what we need to know. And that's what the preacher is telling the readers. That he realized, and if this is King Solomon, he realized that no matter how wealthy I am or how good I am, I still have to go through the seasons of life. And I have to learn to endure what comes my way. And that's what we see right there. And I believe it's so important for us to know that God is always good and God is always in control in all the season. And that takes me to my second point, the sovereignty of God. And we see that in verses 10, 11, and 15. Let me read the Word of God. I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Verse 15, whatever is has already been and whatever will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. Six times the preacher uses the phrase God has or he has. And that phrase indicates that God is doing something behind the scenes in all the seasons of life. You see, God is involved in all our seasons. God is the one controlling our seasons. And God is the one who appoints our season. And God is the one who still rules and reigns and is sovereign in our season. Interestingly, the word time in this particular chapter is the Hebrew word et, which actually means God's appointed time. You see? So what the author is saying is that these times and this season that is we are going through, it's all determined by God's sovereignty and wisdom. He is always involved. And I don't know what season you are in, but I think if you love the Lord and follow Jesus, I think it's quite comforting to know that whatever season we are in, good or bad, God is in control. Amen? I mean, what's that very popular Christian saying that we hear a lot around amongst the church? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. We're not Pentecostal. If we were Pentecostal, it would have been like amazing. Let's just try that again. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. You notice the second part of that saying? All the time. You know what's very, very hard and extremely difficult to say? God is good all the time when you lose a loved one. Or you have a miscarriage. You're struggling to put food on the table. You've been diagnosed with cancer. Very hard to say God is good in those seasons. But if we know that God is in control and he's a God of love who only operates from a position of love, whatever season we are in, he is good all the time. That's the reason why you look in verse 11, the preacher says, he, that is God, has made everything, everything beautiful in its time. It may not look beautiful in the midst of a dark season, but in its time, it will be beautiful. You know why? Because God is sovereign and God is love and he only operates from a position of love. So whatever he does, it will be love. And sometimes it is very hard in the midst of a tough season. But I want to promise you and encourage you that he is good all the time. That's why the Apostle Paul would say this in Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, see, all the time, all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All the time, all season, God would work the good of those who love him. And what I've learned in my years of following Jesus is that sometimes in my broken season, and trust me, I have bitter and broken seasons as well, a lot of them, I am praying that God would really help me to get to the next season. But God doesn't do that. He extends that broken season for a longer period of time. But if God is in control, then I have to trust that I know my God knows what he's doing. Maybe for some of you, you're in that season where you're like, God, could you please give me the next season? And God is just good. And I love those seasons. And I'm saying, God, can you extend that season? Can you keep it going on? And God cuts it short. And I said, God, why are you doing that? I don't get it, God. But if I know that God is in control and God is good and he only operates from a position of goodness and love, then he knows what he's doing. That's why the late Billy Graham, I quote him, he says this, God's timing is perfect. We may not understand it, but it is always for our good. And I want to encourage you that for some of you, maybe you're in that season where it was so good and it's cut short. God, your timing is wrong. I wanted more of that season. Well, God knows what he's doing. Or you're in a season of bitterness and it's so long and you're praying for a breakthrough and it hasn't happened yet and God's extending it. Well, you have to know that God is in control and God is love and he is good and he knows what he's doing because his timing will always be for our good. You know, during the week in my Connect group, one of the couples, I asked them for permission to share this. they share with my group that the wife, she lost her job and then she injured her lower back. Now, to make matters even worse, their lease ended and they find themselves house-sitting for 3 months and not sure where to live next. And during that period of time, they felt it was the right time to purchase their first home. So they went to go through the process of putting in an offer to buy a house. But it was unsuccessful. Unsuccessful. But on the same day when they found out it was unsuccessful, she, by the grace of God, landed a job. A week after that, they thought, well, if we can't buy, we'll keep looking for a rental place. So they go to look for a house and they went. And the place is packed with potential tenants. But they still applied and gave it over to the Lord. By the grace of God, they got a phone call and their rental application was accepted. And this is a text message that they sent to me. Let me read you and I quote them, right? God gifted us a home, not because we earned it, but because He is faithful. 6 months of hardship, 6 months of growth, we learn what it means to truly surrender, not to strive, not to control, but to trust, to let go and let God be God. And that's like scripture right there, right? And that's a text message I get from someone in this church here. God is sovereign, my friend. God is in control, and His timing is always perfect. Amen. And this leads me to my last point, is that then we learn to surrender as those who follow Jesus. Look in verses 12 to 14. I know there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away from it. God does it so that people will fear Him. I just want to draw your attention to verse 14. Look carefully what he says in the text. God does everything, and everything God does, it endures forever. And God does everything with a purpose. Look at the very ending of verse 14. He does everything in our lives so that we will what? Fear Him. The fear of the Lord means trusting and surrendering to God. So God does everything in our season with the purpose of driving us towards Him so that we will surrender and trust Him. Eric Ortlund says this, I quote him, he says, His, that's God's ultimate purpose in doing this so is that we will fear Him, that is, revere and trust Him as God and Lord who does not consult us. And so what the writer is saying here, Ortlund is saying here, is that God does what He needs to do. He doesn't owe us any explanation. He can do whatever He wants. He doesn't consult you with His God. But everything He does drives us towards Him so that we learn to fear Him and surrender and trust Him. And I personally, I know that that is something that God is working in me for many seasons of my existence. I find that in my seasons of frustration, in my brokenness and my, you know, the hardship and suffering in what I do, God is driving me towards Him. He's driving me so that I can learn to surrender and trust and say, well, You're in control and not me. You got this and not me. So why am I getting so frustrated? I can't control this. You can because You're God. And He drives me towards Him so that I ultimately surrender and say, You take the wheel of my life. You take control of my life. I give it all to You. And maybe, friends, for some of us here this day, that's what God is doing in your season. You're in a season where you're kind of frustrated and it's hurting you and it's brutal. But could God be using this season to draw you back to Him so ultimately you let Him take control and you learn to trust and surrender? And I say this all the time in our church as I conclude this message here, is that sometimes for us to trust God and surrender to God, it is so hard because we all have an ego. We all want to be in control. We all have distance. That's why we need people to remind us and point out our blind spots and say, no, you're not in control. God is in control. That's why we need people to help us, remind us that God is trustworthy and that we can trust him in those dark seasons. We need to have people around us so that we could weather whatever seasons we're going through and not have to go through them alone, but to have people encouraging us, praying with us, helping us, crying with us, carrying our burdens so that we ultimately together draw towards God and surrender and give it all to him. That's why we need each other here. This church is growing, and we need to find people to help us so that we can carry each other's burden, lean on one another, love and support one another, look out and care for each other. The Apostle Paul, if you remember when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said that we're all one body, members of the one body. And if one part suffers, we all suffer. There's nothing better than having someone crying with you in that dark valley with you, in that dark season, just encouraging you and reminding you, you can still trust God. You can still run towards God and not away from God. Nothing better than that, my friends, to have someone with you. But he also says to the Corinthians that when one is honored, we rejoice. Nothing better than having people who can see your victory, who can see God change your season, who can see God change your heart as you learn to surrender and trust him, and they champion you on and they say, well done, hallelujah. And your transformation will also build their faith. That's why I say all the time, as our church gets larger, don't do this Christian thing alone. It's just too hard. Have someone, have people, have community with you, carrying your burden, praying for you. And together, whatever seasons of life we may go through, we know that God is in control. We learn to trust God because, listen carefully, God will make everything beautiful in his timing. In his timing, everything will be beautiful, and it's going to be a lot easier if we have people with us. Everything beautiful in its time. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. I hope that's a message of encouragement, not only to the mum, but to everyone, that God bless you. Let me pray a prayer of blessing upon all the mums here and all the mothers-to-be and all the women and sisters and daughters and aunties. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this community. Thank you so much for what you're doing here. You are a good God. You're a good God. And I pray for all the ladies, all the women here. Lord, thank you so much that you are so good in blessing our community with these strong, godly, wise women. And I pray a prayer of blessing upon them all. That, Lord, that they will continue to live as daughters of the Most High. That they know their identity is in you alone. Not what the world say, but what you have to say in your word. That they're so loved by you. They have a Father in heaven who loves them, who has a purpose for them. So, Lord, would you bless all the women here. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for reminding us in your word that whatever season we may go through, you're there. You go through those seasons with us. But not only that, you're actually in control of every season. And so help us to surrender. I pray for anyone or any family here this morning who may be in a very dark season. It's a tough season. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help them. Remind them that you're a good God. You're good all the time. That you love them a lot, more than they can imagine. And you haven't forgotten them. Your grace is still upon them. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help them to trust you in this season, to draw and drive themselves back to you. So, Lord, thank you so much for your word. Bless this community. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.